Well, good morning. We have a hope and we have a future and we have a God that's worthy to be praised. Amen. 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 So we have been going through the book of Ephesians and we have completed chapter 1. Hallelujah. I don't know how long it's going to take us to get through the other parts, but today we embark on a whole new adventure with Ephesians chapter 2. Okay. And I love the book of Ephesians because it tells us where we came from, where we are, and where we're going. And chapter 2 is going to talk about where we came from. And if you don't know where you came from, you can't appreciate where you are, and you can't appreciate where you're going. I may be dating myself, but anybody in here know who Audrey Hepburn is? Yeah? Because I saw a movie, I was very young, when I saw a movie called Wait Until Dark, and it stars Audrey Hepburn, okay? And she's this British actress, and in the movie, she's blind, and she's trying to defend herself against the seeing people and everything. It was a really good movie. But she has a quote, and it says, the past, I think, has helped me appreciate the present, and I don't want to spoil any of it by fretting about the future. Now, Audrey Hepburn was raised in the Nazi era. One of her brothers was taken to concentration camp, and then she was able to get away and come and be an actress. So that statement that she made about her past, her present, and her future, I like that quote, but something about it bugged me. And as a born-again believer, I kind of changed it around for you today, that the past does help us appreciate the present, but knowing where God has brought you from eliminates all fear about your future. So the past helps you to appreciate your present situation. Amen? How many people believe that whether good or bad, whether you were raised with loving, adoring parents, or you were raised with parents that did not love you, if you were an orphan, if you had struggles, if you did not, how many people believe that your past has shaped you into the person that you are today? If it was rough, you're resilient. You're strong because you're here, right? If it wasn't so rough, if it was wonderful, you have the ability to tell others about how good a God you serve, right? So our past definitely shapes us. And they did a study that adolescents that can remember nuggets about their past, that they have these memories where parents tell them stories and reminders, that they are more resilient and they are more productive in life. Did you know that? And when we think about it from a spiritual sense, if we can have the knowledge of just where Christ brought us from, it's going to make us resilient and stronger to stand against the attacks of the devil. I heard a story about a man. His name is Lynn Weaver, okay? And when he was young and he was struggling one night to learn algebra in a textbook, and he was frustrated, he closed the book, slammed it on the table, and went to bed. His father, they were not wealthy. His father worked as a janitor and had a second job as a chauffeur. And when he saw Lynn give up, he stayed up that night after working two jobs. He learned that chapter of algebra. He woke Lynn up at 4 a.m. and taught that to him. And his father is dead today, but Lynn says, if only I could be half the man that my dad was. The things, the memories that we have of our parents, whether good or bad, they shape you and they mold you. And we have a heavenly father that gives us a past that we need to learn about. Amen? And a lot of times, you know, and I don't know, truly being led by the Spirit of God, I wanted that song, thank you, Lord, for saving me, for all that you have done for me. And I think that what it is that sometimes we don't always immediately understand the gravity of situations. I know that maybe 10, 15 years ago when my kids, they used to run track, and I had my kids and some other kids in the car, and we were on the 60 freeway heading to Los Angeles for a track meet, and it was raining, pouring, the freeway's packed, and we're in the carpool lane, and I didn't realize that that is the worst lane when it's raining because all the water accumulates there. So we begin to hydroplane on this full freeway, and the angels of heaven stopped traffic so we could swirl all the way over to that side, back over again, not touch the walls, spin around in the middle of the freeway, and end up facing oncoming traffic. And we're looking at all these headlights looking at us, and I was calm. I'm like, okay, let me turn it around. And everybody's talking in the car, oh, my God, oh, my God. And I'm like, oh, my God, thank you. And we get off to the side of the road, you know, to just recoup and regroup. And I sit there, and at the time I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. And then I start to tremble, and then I start to cry because I'm like, every one of us could have been killed. The car was fine. The kids were fine. But it wasn't until after the fact, after I thought about it, after I had a minute, that I could realize just where God had delivered me from. And then words weren't enough. I couldn't thank him enough. I couldn't thank him that my whole family and my friend's whole family could have been dead and gone. I mean, you guys just don't even know what a miracle it was. But my point is, a lot of times we read the scripture and we just read through it and we don't realize the gravity of just what happened on that cross for us. Amen? So today we're starting in Ephesians 2, and I'm going to do verses 1 through 5. Okay, so turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And I think that this message is going to be some kind of blessing because I have been attacked. And I forgot my Bible, and this Pastor Sue's Bible got little writing, but here we go. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive. Did I write that on here? Here, I did write that on here, because hers is a different translation. Hold on. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, so rich in mercy, he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. So let's break that those scriptures apart for a minute and look at verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. And that word dead in the Greek is the word nekros, N-E-K-R-O-S. And it means corpse. Have you ever seen a corpse? You know, I have because I went to medical school. By trade, I'm a physician. And we have cadavers or corpses. A cadaver is when they preserve the body, take all the, there's no blood or anything. But we have to learn anatomy on a cadaver. And certain people have donated their bodies to medical science so that we don't have to practice on you, but we can learn the muscles and the arteries and everything else. And it's funny because we work on this cadaver for a full year when you do anatomy. I mean, 1 month is the arm, and 1 month is the hand, and 1 month is the foot, and we go through the entire abdominal cavity and the brain, and, you know, we named our cadaver, you know. And we spend, you know, you can come after hours and try to learn your stuff, you know, that this artery goes through this muscle on top of that nerve, and you have to learn all this stuff. And we named him. But, you know, he never wanted to know our name. Praise God. And let me just say right now that I can assure you that as I'm talking about these morbid corpses and death and being dead, that I did not bring an object lesson today. Okay? So our cadaver, this corpse, he couldn't see, He couldn't hear, and he couldn't respond to any conversation that we were having, okay? You know, in Genesis, it talks about if you eat of these two trees, then on that day, you will surely die, right? But did Adam and Eve actually die? No, but they were spiritually dead, okay? And when you are spiritually dead, you are oblivious to the things of God. You just are dead. You can't see them. People who are not saved, they're not going to understand why you feel a certain way about certain things that are against your, now you've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and so they're not going to understand, right? When they're dead, they do not understand or comprehend the things of God. And the Bible says that we all, even, you know, Pastor Sue just had a brand new grandbaby, and that little baby was born into sin, for we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? And what are the wages of sin? Death. So we're born into sin. We're born dead. Does that make sense? Because we have not yet accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Until the day when his Holy Spirit comes into our heart, we are made alive again. And just like he was resurrected from the dead, we need to get resurrected. Right? Our resurrecting King needs to resurrect us, and he has. But a lot of us are living as if we are still dead. So the title of today's message is Come Forth. You know how God told Lazarus when he was 4 days in the tomb, he was stinky, he was wrapped in burial cloths and everything, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. You could fill your name in that blank today. What do you need to come forth and do? What in your life is spiritually dead that you've separated from God? You've allowed this part to be in tune with him and you can pray, but you're still holding on to this part, this dead part. And you need to make every aspect, you know, your full self, your whole self, come forth and serve God. Amen? The Bible says that before, when you're dead, you're carnally minded. I know Pastor Jim always says you're a meathead because of chili con carne, and that you're just a meathead. You're not understanding. You're doing what feels right to do in your own eyes, and you have no spirit, man, no Holy Spirit to convict you, lead you, guide you, or tell you the truth. The truth is what you choose to believe it to be, right? You're a meathead. You don't understand. You're dead. You're carnally minded. Amen? You're driven by your emotions. You're driven by your senses. If it feels good, do it. That doesn't feel right. As a child of God, you don't move according to your feelings. You move according to the word of God. Amen? And those who are carnally minded, the Bible says they are in enmity against God, meaning they are actively opposed to God. They are fighting against everything that is godly. They're in enmity against God if they're carnally minded, if they're dead, if they're spiritually dead, if they are not children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, if they have not been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, they're carnally minded, they're born into sin, and they're dead. They do not understand, and they're at enmity with God. And that word carnal is the word sarkikos, and it means fleshly. Just anything that feels good to the flesh is good for me, okay? Until you know God, amen? Rick Warren, he's the author of a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and he says that without God, life has no purpose, and without purpose, life has no meaning, and without meaning, life has no significance or hope. And that's so true, because when we as born-again believers, if you're not of God and you're against God, you cannot stand in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? You know, my daughter, Jade, she was telling me about, and you know how they tell you about some girls at school and what they're doing to kind of feel you out to see, like, could I possibly do that? Or, you know, but she's like, Mom, and this girl did this, this, and whatever, and she's doing this, and I think she's going to get suspended because, and she, if you know Jade, that's just how she talks, okay? And she's just going on and telling me, and I'm like, well, what do you think about that? And she's like, it's wrong, right? And I said, yes, you know it's wrong. And I said, you know, and I've taught them Psalm 91. I said, say it. And she says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God. I said, are you in a secret place? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you seek after him and all these things are going to be added? And she's like, yeah, I'm trying. And he said, shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Okay, those who don't know God, who are dead, they're not in the shadow. I said, so you can do. You're perfectly capable of doing what that girl has done. But when you're in something's shadow, if you're finding shade and you stand against a wall that's shadowing you, that wall is protecting you because you're in the shadow. You're behind it. You're protected from the fiery darts. I said, the minute you do what that girl is doing, you're stepping out. Now, any opposition coming your way, you're taking it full force. And I can't help you when you're out there. You got to stay right here. Stay in God, under God, in his shadow, and stay protected. Amen? When you step out of the, if you don't know God and you're dead, you're vulnerable. You're just out there exposed. You're no longer in the shadow. You cannot resist the devil. As a child of God, the Bible says, if I resist the devil, he has to flee. He doesn't have an option. He doesn't have an option. Stop acting like you're dead and resist the devil. Amen? He's coming. He's coming as a roaring lion, but he's not. He sounds like it. He tries to be scary, but he's not. The greater one's on the inside of you. Amen? All things are under your feet. So you don't want to be out there exposed, living dead. He is the power in the air, the prince of the air, and he can control the thoughts of those who are dead. So they're just thinking whatever. You know, we cast down everything that doesn't line up against the word of God. Amen? They're puppets to the devil. They're slaves of the devil. They're controlled by the devil, and they don't even know it. Guess whose job it is to tell them the good news? Ours. Amen? You know, when you are following the devil and you're dead, a corpse, can't talk, can't see, can't feel the things of God, you're full of envy. You know, you can't even be happy for somebody else because you're like, should have been me. You're full of pride because the sinful nature wants all the credit. You know, in him I live, I move, I have my being. I didn't get up this morning because of my own self. I could be dead. I could have diseases, whatever. You know, you say, oh, but I worked hard for this job. I worked hard for this position. And who gave you the strength to get up and go get it? And who gave you the intelligence to attain that position? And who is helping you to see and helping you to drive to work? It is not you. It is only by the grace. It's him who opens doors. He who gets promotion. Amen? So those who are dead, they're full of pride. That's all they can see. They're full of envy. They can't even be happy for somebody else. They are irritable and frustrated with life because they have no hope. They have no Savior. They have no Messiah. They have no advocate. They have no friend. They can't talk to Jesus 24/7 like you can. They can't go to him in prayer. Amen? We were dead. We were dead. Go back to our verse. Verse number 2. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. That used to be you, and that used to be me. The commander of the powers in the unseen world, he is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So here, some people are tuned out. They're like, unseen world, commander of the powers of the unseen world. That sounds scary. And you know that just because you don't want to go there or you don't want to believe it, it doesn't make it so. It's out there. There is an unseen world. There is an enemy. And you can choose to not believe it and not fight and not stand for your children and stand for your home and stand for your finances and ignore him, or you can fight against him. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, a verse we commonly go to. And it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:4. This is a Bible study, right? So, I know it's a lot of verses because I love the word. And you need to just put these in your arsenal so you can fight. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:4, just the first part says, Satan, who is the god of this world. Did you know that? You knew that? All right. He's the god of this world. He has power over those who are dead, right? He's controlling their thoughts. He's controlling their actions, their feelings, and everything. He's the god of this world. You can choose to obey him, and you can choose to obey God. He's the god of this world, and he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So they're dead and blind. All right? They cannot see the things of God. They cannot understand the things of God. They're dead. Romans 6:17 says, you were slaves of sin. I told you how he controls them, right? We, as God's children, as God's representatives, as ambassadors of God, we have got to tell them. They don't even know. Amen? John 3:19 says, they love the darkness more than light. That used to be where you were, loving the darkness. Every weekend were you out there partying and say, hey, just oblivious to the things of God? Just oblivious to the things of God. It's like, am I going to have a good time? Is this liquor or this weed or whatever I'm doing, is this going to make me feel better? Because I don't want to think about my circumstances because I have no hope. I have no future. I don't know God, because so I have to do whatever I can do to feel good. Because other than that, what is life? What is the purpose of life if I don't feel good? So let me do everything I can to feel good, right? You with me? Y'all don't sit up there acting all holy. Y'all know you with me. Colossians 1:13 says he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Turn over to Numbers chapter 22. Guys, I use my phone so much that I'm like, where's Numbers? Oh, here it is. My phone, this day, my phone has no battery. When I realized I didn't have my Bible, I was like, oh, phone, dang. Okay, so, all right. There are things that are spiritual that are unseen, but they still exist, is my point. Turn to Numbers 22, verse 21. No, verse 23. It's the story of Balaam. And it says, now the donkey... The animal, the donkey, right? He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And so Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. And then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. And then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and he struck the donkey with his staff. And then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not the donkey you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. And the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. The angel of the Lord was there. The donkey saw it. But Balaam was so carnally minded, he couldn't see it. So he's beating the donkey for no apparent reason. And sometimes we need to pray as Satan is trying to attack us and make us corpses again, make us in the coffin again. We need to pray, Lord, open my spiritual eyes. open my eyes to see things the way that you see them. Help me, Lord, open my eyes to any unforgiveness I have in my heart. Open my eyes to any pride, any envy. Open my eyes to any unwholeness I have or anything that is not of you. Open my eyes so I can see, so I can repent, and I can change. Just like you opened the eyes of Balaam, Lord, open my eyes. Amen? You know, as a medical professional, I was thinking, you know, we did not always know about germs, right? The microscope was not invented until the late 1500s. And people would do surgery just like wash your hands with some soap and do surgery. They didn't put on any mask or anything like that. They just would do it because they didn't understand. You know, I was privileged several years ago to travel to Africa with Pastor Deborah and the team and Pastor Sue. And we witnessed women filling up their baby bottle from a muddy ditch for water for their baby. And I had to teach them that there are things that you cannot see that will make your baby sick. And you cannot get water from a ditch. There are unseen things. Just because they didn't know it, they didn't understand it, didn't mean that there are not germs and viruses and bacteria and protozoa and plankton, things that we can only see with a microscope. Amen? And if this has been scary to know about this unseen world, to know about this prince of the power of the air and this kingdom of darkness and this kingdom of light, know that Satan is a created being. Our Heavenly Father made him. And although he controls the minds of unbelievers, although he controls the powers of the air and they are slaves to him, you don't have to be. Amen? That the greater one is on the inside of you. So you don't have to fear this kind of message. You don't have to hide yourself from these things because they're scary to you or spooky or whatever, right? So we were dead. That's your first point. There is an unseen world, and we do have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Now, verse 3. Where is verse 3? I don't know where verse 3 went. I should have these in order. But verse 3 basically says we were slaves to our sinful nature. And I was going to... Oh, here's verse 3. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us. Oh, no, that's verse 4. Stop there. Passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Step number 3, okay? What are the passionate desires of our sinful nature? You know, everybody's like, you know. Passionate desires is you having the desire to sleep with somebody's husband, adultery. Passionate desires is you having the desire to sleep with that man just because he looks good or he's looking at you, or you have the need for love. Sleeping around, fornication, passionate desires. You feel like cussing them out, cuss them out. Your sinful nature controlling you, right? This is where you used to be, all right? You don't have a man. You want to masturbate. You want to look at pornography. That's a sexual desire, passionate nature that used to be. That's for those who are in this kingdom, all right? The kingdom of darkness. But that's what Satan was leading us to do. That's where you used to come from. You don't have to be there anymore. How do you keep from following these passionate desires? We are already in Ephesians chapter 6. We were there, right? The next verse says, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. And then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground. The first thing they list is put on the belt of truth. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And the belt was necessary to hold your only offensive weaponry piece, which is your sword of the spirit. And that belt, just like a belt hugs your waist, you need to keep truth close. Proverbs 3 says, let mercy and truth bind them around your neck. Don't let them forsake you. Write them in your heart on a tablet. Because only the truth is going to set you free. How are you going to know the lies of the devil unless you know the truth, the word of God. If you don't have this belt of truth, you're going on the truth of the world. That sounds good to me. Sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah, I believe there's not a God. That sounds good. That makes sense. The truth of the world. All right? So you got to have that belt of truth tightly around you. If you could write it in your heart, you need to write it. You need to learn the scriptures. You need to understand the scriptures. Not just here. I'm not just saying memorize them to boast. And I remember Marilyn Hickey, she knew like 30-some chapters of the Bible, but you can see the power that gave her. She wasn't boasting like, you know, trying to tell you, you know, I'm all that. She was saying, this is what it takes. You know, some people think it doesn't take all that. It does. It does. In order to stand your ground, it does. And so the belt of truth protects us from the lies of the enemy, but we have to know the word so we can fight. The second thing it says is the body armor of God is righteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness. And, you know, the Roman soldier, you know, this is the analogy that he's giving us. And the Roman soldiers were dressed for battle with this belt around their waist. And the belt would have loops on it and the breastplate would attach to the belt because we are the righteousness of God. There's nothing we could do to earn it. He made us righteous when he came into our hearts as Lord and Savior, right? But if you put on a breastplate of righteousness and you don't have the word of God, the truth of knowing that it's in him I live, in him I do everything, and I have nothing without him, you get in pride. I'm my own righteousness. I'm so good. You got to have the truth of the word of God to keep you from pride, from envy, from boasting. Amen? So the breastplate of righteousness used to go in the belt, and the belt of truth secures God's righteousness. Amen. And this breastplate protects our heart. You know, David did all kinds of sin. He's looking at a naked woman and sleeping with her and trying to call her husband off the battlefield to sleep with her to explain the baby and then say, I got to kill him. David was loved by God. King David was a man after God's own heart. We have to protect our heart from bitterness, from hurt, from anger. We have to put in it the truth of God. It happened. You cannot change your past, but you can grow from it. You don't have to live your past in your present, and it doesn't have to be part of your future. Amen? Our own righteousness is as a filthy rag without that belt of truth. Okay? The next thing it says is shoes of peace. So, in the as their armor, these shoes had like nails or spikes in the sole so that when they're in battle, they're stable, okay? They can't just get pushed over or anything like that. And you need to be stable against the attacks of the devil. You need to stand firm. And having done all to stand, continue to stand. And you need to have your mind in peace instead of worry. You need to cast that care on him. Be in peace. Plant your feet and stand on the word of God. Amen? Shoes are also for moving. And you need to take this peace and tell a lost and dying world about the king that you serve, King Jesus. You need to take these shoes and promote the gospel of peace. You need to tell from San Bernardino and the county where you live and the world that we live, you need to tell the gospel. Amen? So we have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness held in place by the belt of truth and these shoes of peace that are going to keep us stable and firm against the attacks of the enemy. And we have the shield of faith. Now this shield the Roman soldiers used, it was as big as a door. It was like a piece of wood and they covered it with hide and they could actually get their entire bodies behind it so that when they shot the arrows out, the arrows would bounce off of them, and they would get together in a kind of tortoise formation with their shields, and all the arrows that came would just bounce away, and they would be under their shields protected. Amen? And you need the shield of faith. Faith is that same protection. You're like a turtle in the shell, and your faith in the word of God, your faith in his faithfulness, your faith and your belief that what God said is going to come to pass. He's not a man that he should lie. I'm standing on it with my feet firmly planted on the word of truth. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you don't have faith, how do you get faith? By hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. You know, I'm speaking to the choir because you're here. Get in church. Hear the word of God. When you're driving, put on, you know, whatever minister to you. We have all our sermons on tape. This sermon, Pastor Jim, Pastor Dan, Pastor Jessica, they're all on tape. You can listen over and over again. Like, I didn't quite get that. Listen to it. Let it sink into your heart. It has to be in your heart. Can't be in your head, because when the devil tries to attack, you can't come and wake me up and get me to pray for you. You got to pray for your own self. And you got to know that you could get a prayer through. Amen? And the helmet of salvation. You know, where does Satan attack? He attacks your mind with thoughts. Okay? And you have to, 2 Corinthians says that in chapter 10, verse 3 through 5, it says that we have to cast down everything that doesn't line up with the word of God. We have to renew our minds. It says in Romans 12, renew your mind to the things of God. Cast down every imagination, every thought, because otherwise it becomes a stronghold. We have to take the strongholds. That word is, I can't even say it, but there's a Greek word, and it means you have to take those thoughts and bring them into submission. You control them. When you start thinking, I want to do something that you know would not be pleasing to God, you have to replace it with the word of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I don't have to obey this God, the God of the world, because I have my God, the only God, right? So the helmet of salvation. And then the last thing is the sword of the Spirit. And I told you that the belt of truth provided a little casing to hold your only offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that verse, which says it's the word of God, that Greek word is rhema. Now, there's the logos word, and there's the rhema word. Now, the rhema word means you take a particular verse, and you can apply it to your situation. Okay, it's a group of verses or a particular verse with that rhema word. And 2 Timothy says that we need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And so what you have to get to the point where you can look in your concordance or you can Google, I'm having a problem with fear. You can find a verse on fear, and that's the word that you stand on. That's the word that you use. And that's the word that you're immovable against the devil's attacks on your mind. I taught my son this verse. He has a problem with weather changes. He hates thunder. And I'm like, you have to stand on the fact that God has not given you a spirit of fear. And, you know, if he sees clouds and it's looking like it might thunder, he's crying and he's saying, God has not given me a spirit of fear. And I'm teaching him to rightly divide the word of truth and use that rhema word to change his situation and change his heart. And he's not there yet, but you know what? God is going to get him there because he's following the word of God. He's building his faith. Ecclesiastes 10:10, it says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. You know, some of us have a dull axe. And we need to sharpen our skills, the way we use the word of God, so we can apply it particularly to our situation and change it. Stop living in the same circumstances and learn how to change your circumstances with the word of God, because he's able. You serve a God that is able. Amen? And we are crying at the altar every week, and we're moaning, and we're complaining, and woe is me, and it's not changing, and I've been praying, and I've been praying. And you got to keep praying. You got to keep standing. You got to know that it's going to happen. It's not on your time. It's on God's time. Why we have to go through some things, I don't know, but I know that God is able. I know God is faithful. I know he's going to come through. And if he doesn't, I'm still going to serve him. If I have to get to heaven and I have to say why, I'm still going to serve them. Amen? So you just got to keep on. You're not doing anything wrong just because it hasn't come to pass. It just hasn't come to pass. Amen? Just keep standing. And the last verse, is this the last verse? Verse 4, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much. No, that's not it. Oh, here. That Jesus was raised from the dead, and in doing so, he gave us life. Did you know that the only people that are comfortable in a coffin is a dead person? I mean, it sounds funny, but it's true, right? You cannot get comfortable in a coffin, but yet a lot of us are acting like we're still dead. Amen? And you have to just get free from the bondage of sin and guilt, depression, low self-esteem, whatever is holding you there and not allowing you to take advantage of the benefits of the kingdom of God. God has made all things new. All things new. And that's why I entitled this message, Come Forth. You know, don't lay there like you're a corpse, like you can't see or hear or feel or understand the things of God. Come forth. Put your name in there. Not Lazarus, Jenny and Vanessa and Pastor Jess and, you know, Pastor Michelle. Come forth. What has God called you to do, and what are you not doing because of fear, because of not understanding, because of not having enough word in you? What is God's plan and purpose for your life? You have been raised from the dead. So you were born dead, but you've been resurrected. So now, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Turn to Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. So what are we supposed to do? Good works. Turn to Isaiah 43, verse 6. Isaiah 43, verse 6 says, verse 6 and 7. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by name, I have created for my glory. You were created for good works. You were created for God's glory. Psalm 86, 9. Turn there. I said it's a Bible study. If you forgot your Bible like me, just write down these verses. You could look at them later. Psalm 86, 9 says, all nations whom you have made, are we made by God? Yes. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. So we have a purpose. We are to do good works. We are created for his glory. We're created to come before him, worship him, and glorify his name. And lastly, turn to John 15, 8. John 15, 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 15, 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So we are created, and that brings glory to the Father. So you're created to bear fruit. So you can't stay there like you're dead. You're created to bear fruit. Have you heard of the term garbage in is garbage out? You know, in the physical, we can eat healthy. You know, I wore all black because I'm on an eternal diet, and I'm failing. But you can eat healthy and have, you know, your protein and limit your carbs and have your vegetables and get all the nutrients you need, right? Or you can eat junk food. Not necessarily a sin, but it's empty calories, right? And spiritually, you can be fed the word of God that is going to make you strong, make you resilient. When you put on those shoes of peace and you're trying to stand firm, it's going to make your bones strong, right? Or you can eat junk food. Not necessarily wrong, but no, but empty calories. You know, if you are sitting at home all day and have a Netflix binge, junk food, empty calories. If you are just, You know, when I get depressed, I play phone games because it's mindless. I don't have to think about the problem. I'm just sitting there playing. Junk food, empty calories, not helping me. Okay? Garbage in, garbage out. To bear fruit, you have to, you know, we were made from dirt. All y'all are dirt bags. But God, me too. And I'm proud of it because God takes those things that nobody else wants and he uses them for his glory, for his purpose. Amen. There is a call on your life made from the dust of the earth. I mean, he took gold and lined the streets of heaven, but he took dirt that nobody else wanted and he made it special and he made it important. And he made us important. He made us righteousness. He set us apart. Amen? Because we have been born again, because we are now alive because of what Christ has done, it doesn't matter who our earthly parents are because we have a heavenly Father. It doesn't matter what you used to do or who you used to do it with or how many times you used to do it. Amen? Because you've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So don't allow, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's attacking your mind because the battlefield is the mind. Put on your helmet of salvation, block those fiery darts from the enemy, and know who you are. Amen? It doesn't matter what people say about you anymore. Some people are so concerned about people who don't pay the bills, who don't pray for you, who don't really care about you, all these acquaintances, and they don't even realize they have a friend in God. They don't realize that he has made them the head and not the tail, that they're above and not beneath, that the greater one is on the inside of them, that everything is under their feet, and that they have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead inside them to tell the devil to flee. And that he has to go. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. You do not realize where he brought you from and where you are right now. And you are not living according to his plan and purpose for your life. You're thinking you're still dirt. You have been resurrected. You will sit with him in heavenly places. Amen? The last point is it is only by God's grace that you have been saved. What do we say here at The Rock? That grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on our behalf when we cannot do it. And you have been saved by grace, meaning that, you know, in this world, there you don't get something for nothing ever, right? They'll say, oh, we will send you a trial sample of this, and you just have to pay the $4.99 shipping fee, and then a small print, and it'll say, and your card will be charged $150 a month until you cancel this subscription. You don't get something for nothing. We got a thing in the mail years ago, and they were like, oh, you get to stay at this beautiful resort and three meals and all this. And then it said in small print, and you will have to sit through 2 5-hour meetings, and we will bug you to death about buying our timeshare when you come. But grace is free. It's a gift from God. You were saved by grace. Amen? And a lot of times we are still trying to earn our way. God doesn't have a hidden agenda, you know? And you say, okay, I'm saved. And you don't realize the gravity of that. What are you saved from? You're saved from eternal damnation. You're saved from hell. Amen? You're saved from being a puppet of the devil, a slave of sin. You don't have to do that anymore. You're saved from a life devoid of joy. You know, we have all these movie stars and all these singers who have attained what the world considers the top. They're making all the money. They have the big house and the wonderful car, and they have everything, and they commit suicide. Why? Because they don't have that hole that they've been searching to fill, filled up with Jesus Christ. Amen? Suppose you had to be like the Shunammite woman. When her son, you know, in the Old Testament, God was not living inside of them. He would talk to a prophet. He would, you know, talk to certain people. But you had to go through the priest to get your sins, you know, cleansed once a year, and you had to ask the prophet, what saith the Lord? He was not here like he is with us. Amen? So if you had to be, we don't have to be like the Shunammite woman when her son was dead. She had to go look for the man of God and ask him. We can say, Lord, you say that by your stripes I was healed. My son is healed. We have him with us 24/7. Amen? And he can do more than we can imagine or he can think. Or we can think. Suppose we had to be like the man who had to lay by the pool sick for 38 years and wait for the angel to come and stir the water so he could be healed. Amen? But we can stand on the word of God. Amen? That the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man is going to avail much. That by his stripes, we were healed. That I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We have to stand on the word of God. You know, he is our healer, Jehovah Rapha. He is there with you always, Jehovah Shammah. He is your banner, Jehovah Nissi. You know, you hold him up over every thought of condemnation. Hold him up over every sickness. Hold him up over every disease. Everything that doesn't line up with the word of God, you hold up. His banner over you is love. He is Jehovah Nissi. He is Jehovah Makedah, your sanctification. Meaning he set you apart for his plan, for his purpose. And we have to come forth, realize who we are, put on our armor, and stand. And don't let anything push you off of the word of God as you stand. He is there with you always, Jehovah Shammah. You know, it's not like we have to run to the priest. There's no condition that we have to say a certain amount of Hail Marys. There's no condition that you can't eat a certain food. This is a gift from God. You are saved. You have been removed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And yet you are not receiving all the benefits of living in this kingdom. You're still living like you're in the coffin, when the only person comfortable in that coffin is a dead man, a corpse. Come forth. God has so much for all of us. Amen? By his spirit, we need to rise up from the ashes of defeat. I don't know what happened in your life. I don't know what you're going through today, but I know you need to rise up. I know you need to take hold of the word of God, that belt of truth. Keep it close. If you can write it in your heart, do it. I know that his grace has saved you, that his name is victory, and that our resurrected king has resurrected you. And if you didn't have anything to praise him for before, I want you to stand to your feet and I want you to give him praise, because you are no longer dead. You have been raised again. Your resurrected king has resurrected you. And now thank him. Thank him that you don't have to listen to the devil. Thank him that he has freed you. Amen.